Now it's time to look through the window of baseball with our good friend Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt & White, the professional builder's choice, new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good, Marty. How you doing?
Well, very well this morning. And, you know, thinking about the shows and, you know, and you look in the notes this morning and, you know, Blanco, 2 for his last 20, 21, and Morse, 4 for 24, and Posey, 1 for 24. And I wonder why everyone gets excited, including me and everyone who does these shows, because it's such a small segment of a major league season. But I came to this conclusion. I want to get your reaction to it. We all make predictions. We all want to know what's going to happen in baseball. And somehow we get these good starts, bad starts, and we say, you see, this is going to go on for the whole year. But it doesn't. It doesn't happen.
Well, that's what everybody was sort of hoping would happen after the first couple of weeks. They were hitting the heck out of the ball. They looked like world beaters. They had pitching. They had hitting, and the division is ours. And, you know, that wasn't going to continue. I mean, anybody who's followed these guys individually, you know, or the Giants as a group, it just doesn't work that way. Just as what we're seeing now is also temporary. I mean, they'll break out of it. You know, each of those extremes was, I felt, a little misleading, terribly misleading what we're seeing right now. You know, part of it was, I mean, Tyson Ross was Marichal that night. I mean, he was unhittable that night. Yesterday, a little more annoying with Stultz. I think that was the guy they could have broken out against him. And they really could use an 8-run game today, get a little momentum going into Colorado. But, you know, like you said, you never know. But the main thing to remember is that when things hit extremes, like this team's hitting .380 with runners in scoring position, or this guy's an all-star, but he's 1 for 20. That's temporary, and it'll change.
Yeah, it is. It's true. I mean, I know for the talk shows, we get into it, and you know, there's the old panic thing. But it hit me last night. I said, "Wait a minute. You know, it's 18 games. It's 1/11th or 1/9th of a season. 11% or something of a season. So there's so much more to go." But Tim Lincecum today, he's down in a comfort zone, at least down there, through the no-hitter down there. One of my favorite scenes is at the end of the game when Posey bear hugs him. I don't think Lincecum realized what happened. You know that? He's out of it.
That was great. It's one of those rare situations where Posey was the most emotional guy in any scene, you know. And this is a guy who, you know, when champagne's being sprayed, he's sort of standing off in a corner with just a little smile on his face, just, you know, quietly loving observing the celebration. But, I mean, talk about you don't know what's going to happen. That's every start with Lincecum. You know, what's he going to do? I wouldn't have the slightest idea. I mean, I'd like to think, he'll have a good game. He's every game's a little bit of an adventure for this guy now, but I think he's learning to adjust to the new Tim, right down to the mustache. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, one walk and 17 strikeouts. I said it when we opened up earlier. When's the last time you said that?
Yeah, the one walk is great. I mean, the whole staff, you know, led by Hudson and Lincecum, that's a great thing. I mean, there's nothing more tedious than walking the ballpark and getting yourself in trouble for no reason.
Bruce Jenkins with us. So today, no batting practice. They're not even going near the cage. They've hit enough. I'm surprised this isn't one of those where they took the bats back to the hotel with them last night. You know, this is a part of baseball. It's the superstitions, you know, part of baseball. And I'm telling you, isn't that funny that this still goes on today, all these superstitions?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you'd think for a slumping team, especially a team-wide thing, is that you'd work more on hitting. Maybe you take an extra, you know, round of BP, try and squeeze in a few more hacks. But that's exactly the way things go. They switch it around completely. They're not even going to hit. You know, maybe that'll change it. It's a great baseball thing. Sometimes it seems to make no sense and it works, and sometimes it just doesn't work and you wish they had taken BP, but maybe that wouldn't have made any difference either. I mean, it's very old-style baseball. Just change it up. You know, I remember Billy Martin one time after a bad losing streak, he put a number for each guy and threw it into a hat and picked the lineup out that way. You know, he had his pitcher hitting third, I think, which he adjusted a little bit. But
I like it. I'm telling you, I like stuff like that because it's a mental game. You want people to relax.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the whole thing. A relaxed hitter is a hitter who's going to give himself the best chance. So whatever you need to do to get to that point, you do, and I, you know, if they, if they could hammer out an 8-1 win today behind Lincecum, that would be a terrific thing going into Colorado, because I imagine the hitting would continue.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I talked to Andy about, well, let me talk a little more superstition with you before we leave that. You know, Jim Palmer, the Pancakes, the day that he would pitch. Ryan Vogelsong, my goodness, what he goes through. Then these are grown men. They're millionaires. They're multi-millionaires. The stock market and everything else going with them. And they, when it comes to baseball, they act like there's something supernatural that will direct what they're going to do. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. I never forget the sight of Sparky Anderson trudging out to the mound for a pitching change. And by God, he wouldn't step on that baseline for anything. It is really fun. You know, Wade Boggs eating the same thing every day for his whole career, you know, eating chicken. And,
right.
You know, guys, they won't change their underwear if they're hot. Heaven help them if they have a 17-game hitting streak.
Well, Ichiro, you know, and here's yeah. the Hall of Famer, you know, over combined 4,000 hits here in Japan. He's as crazy as anybody with this stuff, with the bats.
Yeah.
With wearing the same clothes, the routine. Barry Zito was the same thing with his routine. Isn't it
yeah.
amazing?
And that's just the ultimate contrast right there. You know, Barry Zito, kind of a flaky Southern California guy, although really not that flaky at all, as it turns out. And Ichiro, you know, just the epitome of the stoic, you know, technician, really had these kind of little quirks, too, that were all part of his routine. So it's fascinating to learn about some of these guys. Behind the facade, there's a lot going on.
And they all do it.
Yeah.
There isn't anyone. Bochy will tell you, they all do it. They'll stand in the same place in the dugout. How about that for a manager?
Yeah. I mean, let's say a guy had to borrow somebody's bat because his favorite couple bats were broken or in a pinch. He had to borrow, say, Tim Hudson's bat or something, and he got a couple knocks. He'd go, Tim, I got to have that bat now. I got to have it till they get me out, you know?
Yeah, well, Willie Mays, and you know, when Joe Malfitano had the great batting practice with Willie Mays' bat, Willie says, give me that bat. And he went out that day and hit four home runs in a game against the Braves. That's how that happened.
Yeah,
but Leo,
the magic didn't translate back to a Malfitano.
No, in fact, he lost the bat, and that's what happened to it. But yeah. Leo DeRocher, the last one on this one, he liked the bats lined up a certain way. Now, they may not have had bat racks in those days. Remember, the bats would be lined up near the dugout, and he wanted them lined up a certain way, and the players would mess with him and take the bats out of order. It would drive him crazy.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of patience with that sort of shenanigans either. I'm sure he
I'll tell you another one.
A couple of guys on that one.
Well, DeRocher used to come into Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, and the first thing he would do is he would with his foot, he would destroy the coach's box line, you know, which was in lime. And this would get the Dodgers crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So one time they put it in clay. And they did it. They put it in clay so he couldn't do it. And that's the beauty of baseball.
Yeah, put a little cement out there. He sticks his foot in there, and all of a sudden he can't get it out.
I love it.
A little quicksand, you know?
You know, you talk about this game, and you know, you love the batting, you know, the box scores and the game when it starts. But there's a culture behind this game that is, it's romantic and it's funny, isn't
it? You just hit on the whole essence of the game to me, and why I've always been interested in it, and why, as much as I like statistics, admittedly the more traditional ones, it's all about the stories and the characters and the insanely crazy things that happen, the personalities, and just the texture and character of the game has always been the hook for me.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard did you hear a little bit of the Bilko Athletic Club?
Yes, I certainly did.
How about that? I mean.
Yeah, Steve Bilko. I mean, he hit he won the Triple Crown. You know, he hit 55 homers, but he drove in 164 runs and hit 360. I mean, this guy, he was taking a run at Tony Lazzari's home run record in the PCL, which was 60 in 1925. But yeah, Bilko was one of these larger than life guys. You know, the guys would always say about him, man, he can really drink beer. That was a real science to the way he drank beer. They say he'd go to the cash register and he'd have two bottles already down before the guy rang him up, you know, out of the case that he bought. He had this ritual where he'd go into his bathroom and he'd steam it all up. He'd put the towel under the door. He'd steam it all up with the hot shower and the sink. He'd climb into the tub with a six pack. to lose weight. He said because it made me sweat. I mean, the guy, what a character.
Yeah. The book's great. The book is, it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of fun.
The 56 Angels is an interesting story. It's right near the end of the PCL, but I mean, you know, there, at that time they had, you know, Mazeroski was in the league, Carl Vito, Ryan Duren, Frank Melzo, and Bob Perkey. I mean, there was a lot of talent. Really, the whole history of the league is like that. As you guys were saying, you know, a lot of guys thought it was better than the big leagues. And the guys like Bilko and Larry Jansen one time turned down an offer from Stoneham because he was making more in the PCL. He goes, send me back to San Francisco, you know, not the New York Giants. Of course, he did come up later, but it was a real special deal.
Did you go to that ballpark, the old Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, and see the Hollywood stars and all that?
It's funny. I didn't because my dad was a huge baseball fan, and I'm not even sure if he liked the Angels or the Hollywood Stars. You know, mm-hmm. You had two teams there. But, you know, then again, I was really young. I was 10 when the Dodgers got there, and that changed everything. We went to all kinds of games. But I guess maybe he felt I was too young or he was too busy or whatever, but I never got to either one of those parks. And it's so funny watching the classic home run derby shows, you know, later where they bring in Mantle and Mays and Aaron, all the guys to play home run derby in L.A., and they had it at Wrigley Field, this little miniature Wrigley Field that was built in the early 20s by Mr. Wrigley himself, as he owned the Cubs. And you had this little tiny imitation Wrigley Field in the middle of South Central Los Angeles. I wish I had been there.
Yeah, you know, the Hollywood Stars and the Los Angeles Angels, it was a tremendous rivalry.
Yeah.
I mean, Bobby Bregan was the manager of the Stars. If he didn't like a call from the umpire, he'd go out and lay down in front of the umpire. So that's what this league was all about. And the owner of the Hollywood Stars was the owner of the Brown Derby and the Cobb. And he made the Cobb salad, of course. But Jack Benny used to sit in the front row and William Frawley. And when the Stars and the Angels played, it was like Giants-Dodgers. It was a big deal.
Yeah, well, now I'm coming to think that my dad probably was a Stars guy because he ate at the Brown Derby every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, then clearly. And I forget Cobb's first name. Was it Bob Cobb? I forget. Yeah. But that's where the Cobb salad came from.
It was a Ty Cobb.
There was not Ty Cobb, believe me. He would have spiked it. He would have put something else in there in more than
Very
one
good.
Way.
Very good.
Hey, always fun talking with you. This division, the National League West, you know, I'm coming to a conclusion. Andy said it this morning. Maybe it's a little bit better than we think. Maybe there's a good pitcher going out there every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends where you are. I mean, Arizona, it's like doom and gloom time, and they're wondering where all the pitching went. You know, they traded Tyler Skaggs and Trevor Bauer, and then they had the injury to Corbin, and Arroyo's got the back problem, and they're really fighting it. They had a bad loss last night. They're up 4-0 on the Dodgers. But, you know, San Diego, as we've seen, can be very tough. The Dodgers, obviously, the Giants are going to be in it. And I'm sure Arizona will bounce back to some degree. And you know, Colorado, Tulowitzki's just out of his mind right now, which is never a surprise when he's healthy. So it's going to be a tough grind all the way. And, you know, great. I hope it's a five-team race all the way.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Colorado's better than we think. Their bullpen is pretty good right now. And they're getting a little bit of starting pitching. Hey, Bruce, thanks as always. What's your day like today?
Well, there's a lot going on. The Giants, and I write an NBA column, and there's a full slate of that. So I think I might try to get outside, though. Maybe just take out the trash and pretend that I'm getting the great outdoors. Take some deep breaths and back to the couch.
All right, always a pleasure. Have a great day.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is the wonderful Bruce Jenkins. Boy, what a segment. What a segment on a Sunday morning.